Well, good morning on this beautiful Wednesday, September 21st. It looks like the sun is shining out there, and you are listening to the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show. We are live here in the studios. My name is Susie Prez, and I have a co-host sitting over there with a big smile on his face, sorta.
Sorta. Hi, Susie. This is Chris Bessler. I guess I'm your smiling co-host today.
Good morning, Chris. And we have guests in the studio. A very important program that is here in our community, Food for Our Children. And our guests are Vicki Reich. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Susie.
And Michelle Murphy. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
It's so nice to have you.
And Susie, before we get into the interview and talk about Food for Our Children, give us a heads up on the weather.
The weather from the National Weather Service. Currently, we have 46 degrees out. Mostly sunny today with high 64. That's always a good sign. Then later on this evening, chance of showers 40% with a low of 49. Tomorrow, Thursday, 70% chance of showers likely with a high of 59. And Thursday night, showers 40% with a low of 42. Then it looks like it's possibly clearing up through the weekend and the beginning of next week. Highs in the 60s. And maybe up into the 70, 72, and then lows in the 40s.
Okay. Kind of sounding like typical fall weather. I think we're actually near the average for all those. And speaking of fall, actually, today's the last day of summer. The autumn equinox arrives tomorrow. It's actually the official time of it is 7:21 a.m. And Susie, here's a quiz. What is the autumn equinox?
I'll let Vicki take this one.
Oh, no. Really?
There's a clue there.
Oh, man.
Equal. Equal. Yeah. So it's when the days are of equal length, our journey around the sun, and it's because of the tilt of the Earth's axis that we get these seasons, right? So as we move around the sun and the Earth starts to now, our hemisphere is now tilting away from the sun. So the days are getting shorter, and it's going to get cooler.
Very I've definitely good. Noticed the days getting shorter.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And actually, on that topic, sunrise this morning was at 6:30 a.m. It'll set tonight at 6:46 p.m. The daylight lost in the past 7 days, we lost 24 minutes per day of daylight because our days are getting shorter. So that's happening. That's happening at a fast rate. But I saw a report that the snow levels may be above 100, as much as 120% of normal this year. This because there's a La Nina effect that's forming up in the Pacific Ocean. So it could be an epic ski year.
That's the good news.
That's the good news for skiers. You bet. Other things going on outside. The lake level is still at full pool. It's at 2062.19 feet. But the drawdown is projected to start on Saturday. So by this time next week, if they hold to projections, the lake will actually be drawn down about 3/4 of a foot. And it'll be dropping probably at a pace of a foot or maybe more per week until they get down to the low pool level. I'm not sure what the low pool level will be this year. And what else is going on around town, Susie?
Well, I'm just looking at the community calendar here that we received from Keoki or Sandpoint Online. On the 21st, which is today, actually, there's a peace pole ceremony at the Senior Center, and they're proclaiming the Senior Center. All are welcome to the peace pole and National Senior Center Month dedication starting at 1 p.m. at the Sandpoint Senior Center Main Street.
That sounds pretty cool. We could use some peace. Another big thing coming on tomorrow is the Rock Creek Alliance is having their annual party. That's at McDuff's Beer Hall. And it runs from, I think, 5:30 till about 7. And there's talks and a silent auction and, of course, good beer, socialization. And it's a good way to support the Rock Creek Alliance, which is working to preserve the water quality of our lake, basically. Other things going on, they're tearing down the Memorial Field grandstands now.
And if you want to watch it, where do you go to watch that in real time?
Yeah, the Sandpoint Online is set up what's called, they're calling this a stadium cam that gives you a view of all the work that's going on there. you can go to sandpointonline.com and click to find it. It's a real-time webcam, so you can see it's actually happening. The Sandpoint Reader got a neat video clip yesterday. If you want to go to the Sandpoint Reader Facebook page and see some video of the demolition. They're in the demolition right now. So,
well, I did go to that Facebook page, okay. Or it just sort of came up on my Facebook, and I was just sat there and watched this big machine tearing down the grandstand. Yeah. It was almost surreal, since I've spent a good portion of my life in those grandstands.
Yeah, a lot of people here have memories on the grandstands. And they right now they're kind of hollowing it out. The roof is staying on. The excavator's moving inside and tearing down the old bleachers inside. I think the roof will probably start coming down next week. It comes down pretty fast. And then, of course, we'll be able to see the construction of the new stadium go up. So that's a big thing for our community. I'll throw out another local happening. The Sandpoint Ambassadog contest took its next step yesterday. The voting closed, and there were five finalists drawn out of the hat. It was a random drawing. Each dog got a number of votes, and then they got a chance in the drawing for the number of votes they had.
The names are?
Apple, owned by Debbie Curran, is a finalist. Austin, owned by Karen and Larry Olson, is a finalist. Falcon, owned by Lily Mitsui, is a finalist. Mago, but owned by Eric Fulgenzi, is a finalist. And Rosie, who owns Lindsay Similar, is a finalist. So congratulations to our finalists. Now, the next thing that happens is out of these finalists, they go before a panel of judges at the Yappy Hour, which comes on September 29th. That's next Thursday. It's at iCarts. It runs from 4 to 7. I think the judging will be probably around 5:30 or 6. And the finalists will have to make their case before the judges why they should be the official Sandpoint Ambassadog.
Oh, that's very interesting. Is it our first Ambassadog?
First one ever.
Okay. Well, yeah. I have to say, I don't know if my dog that I voted for forever for a lot of votes, BB, is listening, but I'm sorry you didn't get into the final list, BB, but we love you anyways.
Yeah. Well, maybe BB was robbed.
I know the voting was rigged. No, I'm just kidding.
I was there.
It was a drawing.
The voting was a random drawing. Nice. And it's, you know, it's surprising. Some of the dogs that our finalists didn't get is nearly as many votes as some of the dogs that didn't win. And actually, but if you take a look at the total number, there were 8,217 total votes cast. So that's makes the chances for any one dog getting in a little bit chancy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a fun thing. It will be fun to see on the 29th at iCarts who actually becomes our ambassador.
Yes.
For Sandpoint.
Yeah, and I'll throw out one more thing before we get into our interview on food for our children, and that is starting next Wednesday here on the morning show, we're going to kick off our election coverage series. It starts with an interview with U.S. House of Representative candidate James Piotrowski, and hopefully Raul Labrador, the incumbent, will also call in. This would be an interview with Raul that we perform over the phone, I'm sure. And we're not sure that that's going to happen, but we are covering the U.S. House of Representative race for the first district next week. Then we kick off a series of programs.
And we'll get to the whole list later, and they'll be posted on our website and Facebook probably later today, all of the contested candidate races and our interviews with them every Wednesday on the KRFY Morning Show. And we're calling it Local Decision 2016.
Yes. And with that, let's get into our interview. We have with us today two folks that are here to talk about food for our children. It's Michelle Murphy and Vicki Reich. Thanks again for coming in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And for our listeners that might not be well acquainted, give us the short version of what Food for Our Children
okay,
is
Okay, absolutely. Food for Our Children is a public nonprofit. We were started in February of 2015. Our goal is to eliminate childhood hunger in Bonner County. I don't think that people are aware of the amount of hunger in our county, locally, and nationwide as well, we estimate that it's 1 in 5 children or about 2,000 children daily in Bonner County that do not have sufficient food. In the school district, the LPOSD, the Lake Pend Oreille School District, the percentage of children that qualify for the free or reduced breakfast and lunch program is at 53%. At the LPO high school, it's at 85%. So these kids are really dependent upon the free breakfast and lunches, excuse me. So what we started out doing is, when we first started, I thought, how on earth do you even begin to address this problem? So what we decided to do was to focus on weekend food, because these kids have food when school is in session. A lot of them, we found, did not even have knowledge of the concept of dinner. So over the weekend, they're not getting sufficient food. So they come back on Monday morning for school, and they're just completely hungry. I mean, just, you know, falling asleep, can't concentrate. So the food bank, what we do is we raise money to have the food bank supply more food for our children. So we're working in conjunction with the food bank. When we first started, the food bank had the funding to provide weekend food for 3 elementary schools, which left 4 elementary schools, the charter school, the middle school, and the alternative high school without weekend food. So we've been able to add all the elementary schools except for one. We still have to add Washington Elementary School to the program. Bonner General Health stepped in and gave us a grant for $25,000 to provide food for the middle school and for the Lake Pend Oreille High School. They've also improved the nutritional quality, because the pouches of food that the kids take home on the weekends, for the elementary school students, it's not sufficient for these older kids. So they've really, our Bonner General Health has really stepped up. I mean, they are taking the perspective that we want to, you know, look at health like as preventing problems, you know, and not, I mean, these kids cannot get an education if they don't have enough food, you know. So it's like we're already putting obstacles in their way to having a successful, you know, future.
So it's not only just being able to be at school and take in the knowledge that they're receiving and be educated, but it's also their physical development.
Exactly.
And their emotional development. Because if you don't have enough food, we all know what we feel like. If we go too long without food, we start having kind of problems.
Right. So it's the physical, it's the emotional, and also the social, because there's so much stigma that comes with that, that they're not interacting with other students. So it's, I mean, it's all, you know, privacy and confidential which kids are in this program. But it's very, very clear if you walk into a classroom who is getting enough to eat. You know, it's terrible. I mean, how on earth are we not providing enough food for our children?
So you started this program in 2015 in February, and you started with not being able to fulfill the whole need.
Right.
And you've worked towards that. Your goal is to raise funds to provide food through the food bank. You have some other partners, too, that are part of this program.
Right. As I was just saying, you know, it's like when we first started, it's like, how do you raise enough money to do this? And so Vicky has been amazing. We're having a fundraiser, which I'll let Vicky talk about. But yeah, on September 28th, so at Idaho Poor Authority, Vicky has won a bike for the second year in the row for the Chafe race. So we are going to have a fundraiser next Wednesday, and September 28th. So we're going to be, and every single dime that we raise goes directly towards buying food. So we have an exciting fundraiser coming up on the 28th. Do you want to tell them about the bike that you won and what we're going to do?
And how you won it?
Sure. So it wasn't just me this year. My husband and I both rode in the Chafe 150, although we only rode 80 miles. They need to rename it. It needs to be just the Chafe.
That's the half Chafe.
Yeah, it was a half time. But we were the top fundraiser this year, and when you raise $4,000, they give you a bike. And I did it last year, and I donated the bike to the school garden program. And this year, John and I set a goal to raise the $4,000 again, and we came. We needed to decide on a charity together. And we both wanted to make sure that the money went to kids again. Since the money for the Chafe goes to autism education in our school district, we wanted to continue to fund children's programs. And Michelle is very much involved in the school garden program. Well, she is the school garden program. And she had dropped off some information about food for our children. And we decided that that would be the charity for this year. So
and so the bike is going to be auctioned, or is it a drawing?
It's a raffle. We've been selling raffle tickets for about a month now.
Okay.
Right.
And if people wanted to get a raffle ticket right now, how would they do that?
Well, right now, Idaho Poor Authority is not open, but at noon you can go into Idaho Poor Authority and buy a raffle ticket. There's also
right. If you want to get a cup of coffee this morning, you can go by Evans Brothers and buy a ticket there. Greasy Fingers has some tickets, and I think that's it. So
okay. Weren't they selling them at the hospital in Cochava? And
oh yeah, we have some individual members at the hospital and at Cochava that are selling tickets. All of our board members are selling tickets. So last year when we raffled it off, the bike is worth $1,650, something yes. like that.
You know, tell us about the bike. What kind of bike is it?
It's a Surly Pacer. It's a road bike. It's red. And Greasy Fingers donates it every year, and they have been nice enough the last 2 years, because I was planning on giving it raffling it off, giving it away to sort of upgrade the bike. Usually they it's a Giant, and they don't stock Giant, so they have offered to upgrade it to a Surly Pacer so that whoever wins it can get the frame size that they want. So it's not just like a bike and you get that bike. Yeah, nice. You actually mm-hmm. get to go to Greasy
Fingers. So if you're a big guy, you can get a big frame. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, nice.
Or if you're a little petite woman, you can get a little petite frame.
Yeah, it's really nice. You know, like last year when you called and told me about, you know, the idea of raffling it off for the school garden, it was like, I think you were on a ride and you thought, you know, I really like my old bike. You know, it's like, here it is, like this beautiful new bike that she could have kept. I mean, I'm not sure I would have raffled it off, you know? So,
my bike and I have been together for a long time. I'm not really ready to retire her yet.
Yeah. So last year, it was a lot of fun. I mean, Idaho Poor Authority knows how to throw a party. It was jam-packed in there. And we'll also be paired with Fremont Brewing Company.
Yes.
So a portion of their proceeds are going to go to Food for Our Children as well. And we have some silent auction items, too. So
silent auction items. And we'll do a $1 raffle for Fremont Brewing paraphernalia.
Fun. So it starts at 5 o'clock. And then by 7 o'clock, you'll be drawing the winning ticket.
Oh, I thought
right.
you were going to draw the one.
Oh, okay.
I did it last year.
The honor should go to you. But
and when is that again?
It's next Wednesday, the 28th, from 5 to 7.
At Idaho Poor Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, people can just show up and buy their tickets there. They don't have to get them in advance.
Right. You can buy them that night. Yeah. We'll sell them until we raffle it off.
So drink beer and buy tickets.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
I do have to say that this year when I called Michelle to say John and I had decided that Food for Our Children would be the recipient of the raffle, she was so excited. She was like, oh, we've been trying to put together a fall fundraiser and this is just it was sort of meant to be.
It was perfect timing because we have been trying to come up with some sort of signature fundraiser event, and we had an idea which just kept coming into roadblock after roadblock, and it was like, okay, finally we give up. We're not going to have a fundraiser. And then Vicky called like the next day and said, hey, I've got this bike. What do you think if, you know, we, you know, donated it for Food for Our Children? Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, you know, problem solved. So
mm-hmm. very neat. So Vicky, put you on the spot here. You're like this epic fundraiser. What's your motivation? Why do you do this?
That's a good question.
God. I don't know exactly what my it makes me feel good, I guess. It's something that the idea came to me on a ride because I really wanted to do the whole 150 Chafe ride last year, and I knew it was going to take a lot, and I needed to motivate myself, and raising the funds and winning the bike and donating it to a charity seemed to motivate me to do like 2,000 miles of training. And it just, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
The other aspect of making this successful fundraiser is having to go out and ask for donations or pledges for your miles ridden.
You ask for just straight up money. There's no pledging.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just sponsorship kind of.
Donate however much they feel like donating. And I just...
So share your secret of how do you get... apparently, you raised over 4,000 this year. How much did you raise for the chafe?
Between John and I, we raised 4,000 this year. Last year, I raised 4,600.
Okay.
I didn't quite.
Okay, so how do you do that?
You ask.
Just ask.
Really. Yeah. I mean, and I would walk around with a computer at at IPA and be like, hey, do you want to, you know, here, you can just sign up right here on the computer, because people will be like, oh, I don't have any money right now, you know, I'm like, oh, but look, you can do it right here.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm not too afraid of rejection, especially at least in that sense. What's the worst they can do is say no. And usually it's them that feels bad because they've just turned down supporting autism education or supporting food for our children. But I don't feel bad about it.
Yeah. I think you can really tell when it's really heartfelt too, you know, and you get a momentum going and you get some excitement around it and people feel good about being a part of it. So
yeah. And I think setting a goal too. I had actually talked to a friend of mine when I was planning 2 years ago the fundraising, and she's like, you got to say you want to raise at least $4,000, not just $4,000, because you get to $4,000 and people stop, you know? So then last year I was like, oh, how can I raise even more? So I just kept setting bigger goals for myself, and I'm a goal oriented person. I write something down, like, I'm going to do that. And then I'm really focused on getting it done.
And so really the fundraising also gives you some motivation to get out and train for the ride.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause they're training for a 150 mile bike ride is a lot of work, and I did most of it by myself. So
It's a wonderful fundraiser for CHAFE. And is that Team Autism also part of that? Or
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the money goes to the same program. I don't know if they're both through, one's through the Rotary. The CHAFE is through Rotary, and Team Autism, I think, is through Laughing Dog.
Okay.
Don't quote me.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. But however, just needing those funds for autism is wonderful. I think they have several different fundraisers that they do.
Yeah. I think the CHAFE has raised like $100,000 every year or something like that for the
vitally needed funds for our school district.
And it's made a huge difference. They do a big program at the chamber, I think, and at Rotary, talking about how those funds are used and what a difference it makes to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that so you leveraged one fundraiser into a second.
Right. And a lot of people that buy raffle tickets too say, you know, if I win this bike, I'm just going to turn it back over and we'll raffle it off again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So just think about the amount of money that you've raised in 2 years for our community. It's outstanding.
Kind of like viral fundraising here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Good job, Vicky. Yeah. And back to Food for Our Children, and we were talking about the absolute need in our community and how Food for Our Children came about and your mission that you want to raise funds for to make sure that children have food.
Right. So we started out with the weekend food program, so we're just about there. And when we add a school, we have to make sure that the following years that they're going to be added as well, because we can't add a school for 1 year and say, oh, well, sorry, next year we don't have enough money for it. So we're just about there. I think that we've secured funding from Columbia Bank, I believe, for the spring break. So that's another issue. And so I just recently wrote a grant for the holiday break for the schools. And then summer is going to be a whole other thing. I'm not even sure, you know, really where to begin to address that. There are some places that do have food available for summer, but the issue is transportation to actually get to the food.
Right,
so,
for the kids. When they come to school every day, you can...
it's easy on Friday, you know, so... But yeah, so we've been working closely with the food bank, the school district, Bobby Coleman, the director of nutrition. That will be the next big step.
So the idea is to make sure kids have food they can take home for the weekend.
Right, and it has to be shelf stable, and it require no preparation, because lots of times these kids are at home alone.
So what does that look like in the backpack?
I think that there's milk, there's cereal, there's granola bars, string cheese, peanut butter, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, and we're finding that, you know, I think there was a Chef Boyardee product in there, something like that. So it's just, it's evolving.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just having sufficient food, it's having nutritious also, because that makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's a hurdle too, because, you know, what do you put in there that's, you know, gonna be shelf stable? But that's where the general health, Bonner General Health, has really stepped up the process and, upgrading the food and getting more food for the older children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just want to remind our listeners, we are listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show. We're here in the studios with Michelle Murphy and Vicki Reich, representing Food for Our Children and talking about the need in our community, which is astounding, actually. And I just have a question. What does it take just to do the weekend backpack program financially? All this fundraising, you said you're barely meeting your needs,
right,
to provide for this program.
For all the schools, it's over $100,000. When the food bank was doing the program before we stepped in, they were sending home 5,320 food patches, and we have increased it to 11,744 pouches that are being sent home on Fridays.
Every Friday?
Or throughout the year.
Throughout the year. Throughout the year, yeah. Yes. Okay, yeah.
And we also added Head Start, too, which is really important, and they're at 100%. Each child is eligible. I should mention, too, that the charter school, we need to raise funds for the charter school because they do not participate in the free breakfast and lunch program. So the principals and the teachers are actually bringing in food at their own expense to feed these kids.
Mm. Wow.
This must be a situation nationwide. We're not unique in this. As you said, it's quite a bit in our county. What are some of the other communities in our general area, North Idaho, Idaho, or even surrounding areas? Have you looked into what are they doing about this problem?
Right. I think Bonner's Ferry has a program. I believe it's through the Lutheran Church in Newport, for Priest River in Newport. The hospital there, Jenny Smith, they have a program as well that sends in Food for Our Children, writes a check for their program each year. So I would assume that it is nationwide. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you see a lot on the air now. I mean, the conversation is beginning, which is really, really important. When I first started giving presentations a year and a half ago, I don't think that people believed me. You know, a lot of people would say, well, we have the food bank and we have food stamps, and so what's the problem? I mean, if you've ever been in Walmart at the first of the month when, you know, food stamps have run out, I mean, it is jam-packed in there. And, you know, fortunately, people stepped up and say, hey, I lived in need when I was a child, and that's not enough, the food bank. I think the percentage, what the food bank, the percentage of increase in need was some crazy figure, like 400% or something increase. So it's just, getting the word out, too, and getting education about that there is a need. I mean, the community, like with Vicki, is really, you know, stepping up to address this problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, do you want to pay for this now, you know, to educate our children and to get them food, or do you want to pay for it later? They're not going to have an education. So it's been astounding. Listening to Vicki, like, how do you raise that money? It's like, how do you do it? I mean, I don't really know. When I was driving in, I was like, how did we raise that much money? And I don't really know the answer to that. It's just like you said, it just kind of starts going viral. And so yeah, huge, you know, kudos to our community, because there's so many worthy organizations in town that do so much for our community.
Michelle, I don't know if you know this, but there's a business after hours happening the same night as the fundraiser. So on the 28th, the business after hours through the chamber is happening at Summit Insurance. And I got a call from them saying, you know, we don't want to compete with you. How can we work together?
Oh, great.
And so Summit is actually going to make a donation to Food for Our Children.
Oh, awesome.
As well. So
wow.
Again, there's how the community just kind of goes viral.
Right. And then also some businesses have stepped up to adopt a school. So they're taking over the whole school. Like Lighthouse adopted Hope because they were started in Hope. So they wanted to support Hope. And then the VFW, our local post, Larry Peterson, the commander, it was Michael Harmelin, they decided to adopt Southside. Their reasoning was that the VFW, a lot of vets, you know, do not come and ask for assistance because of pride. And, you know, people, it's hard to ask for help. So they decided that this would be a way for them to support their members by, you know, providing food for our families. So that's an option. If anybody out there is listening and wants to adopt a school, we've got Washington out there. For $180, that supports a child for weekend food throughout the school year. So that's kind of
that's a good figure to know.
Right.
Can you fit that into your budget? Just add it to your food budget, turn it over to Food for Our Children,
right,
and make a difference in one child's life. And if there's 2,000 people in our community that can do that, you're set.
Yeah, I can retire again. So
we're going to take a little musical break. I want to come back and talk more about Food for Our Children. It's quite astounding what you're doing and how important it is. And also just touch on the School Garden Project, since I know, Michelle, that's one of your things you've started. But we're going to take a break. And guess whose birthday it is today? It's Leonard Cohen's. He was born in 1934. We're going to play a song by Leonard Cohen wrote, but Judy Collins is singing it. It's called Sisters of Mercy. We'll be right back with the KRFY Morning Show and more with Michelle Murphy, Vicki Reich, and Food for Our Children. And that was Judy Collins singing Sisters of Mercy, a song written by Leonard Cohen, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday.
And we are in the studio with two folks representing Food for Our Children. It's Michelle Murphy and Vicki Reich. Thanks again for being here. We've been talking about the programs that Food for Our Children have through the school districts, basically, to get food to to kids that are in need. And I know this is a question that you've probably grappled with as an organization, but how do we get at the underlying causes that are creating this problem with
right.
children that need food?
That's a really good question. I mean, that's the key question. I think that the first step was just getting the conversation going and getting awareness out there. I was a team leader for the Day of Hope event, which was last summer, the summer before
just last year, yeah.
Paul Graves was giving some instruction. He was saying, you know, it's the old saying, like, you know, if you teach someone how to fish, then you know, they can support themselves. I can't remember the exact wording. But it was like, okay, so imagine a river, and you see some people in the river that are flailing around. They can't, you know, swim. So what's the first thing you do is you pull them out. So that's what we're at right now, is we're raising money. The second one, I'm going to forget what all the steps are. The second one is you teach them how to swim, which is the equivalent to teaching them how to fish. The third step is, well, let's build a bridge across the river so you don't land in the river. The fourth step is asking them, how did you end up in the river? Did you jump in the river, or did someone push you in the river? So, you know, the key is to address some of these issues. You know, we need affordable wages. We need affordable housing, which is a real problem in our area here. You know, it's going to take the community to answer that question. It's a key question, because you don't want to just keep raising money to throw it, you know, at the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there's myriad of factors. We need to have adequate education for our children.
I'm sure education is very important
to
allow the individual to become self-sufficient.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And to get beyond a minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the truth is, a lot of the folks that have food shortages, they are working people.
Right.
But they don't make enough money to cover all the expenses involved if they're working minimum wage jobs.
Right. And a lot of them, too, it's like, you know, one little bump, you know, which for us would be a little bump, can really send them spiraling into, you know, a problem. And then it's also
like their car breaks down or they have a medical emergency that takes a bunch of money.
Exactly.
And that empties their bank account.
And mm-hmm. the spot bus, that was like one of the greatest contributions our community has made, because that allows for transportation. I mean, it's hard for people to get around, to pay for gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Shirley Paulson, who is the director of the Community Action Partnership, which provides assistance with utilities, you know, it's like the bridge over poverty. You can get to a point where you're doing okay and you get a bump, maybe you get a raise and you start losing the entitlement to, or not, you know, the recipient of federal benefits that are out there. And all of a sudden you're back down in the bottom again. So then you start climbing back upwards again, getting access to benefits. So it's like, how do we bridge that between when we were doing okay and then we hit rock bottom, and now we've got to work ourselves back up again, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of single parents that are out there, too. I mean, it's tough to make a living here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of contributing factors to the whole problem, as you said. It can be affordable housing. It is a problem here in our community. And if a parent doesn't have a job that pays a decent wage, we'll say a livable wage, and most of their money is going to rent,
right,
that can be a problem. But there's also this, what I consider, the term would be nutritional deficiency.
Right.
That is a soda and a sweet roll adequate
and a bag of potato
food,
chips.
And a bag of potato chips.
Right.
It all tastes good, but if that becomes your habit of living, so where does nutrition come into it? Because if that's what a child eats before they come to school, that might as well not eat.
Oh, that's huge. And that's why I started the school garden project, is because, you know, the amount of obesity in our community and, you know, nationwide, and the type 2 diabetes is just overwhelming. You know, you're not getting any nutrition. It's just so dangerous at an early age, when your brain is forming, when your body is forming, that you're not getting adequate nutrition.
And the truth of the matter is, a soda, a sweet roll, and a bag of potato chips cost a certain amount of money. A bowl of oatmeal with nuts and fruit in it probably costs less.
Well, that's the thing, is it's like, you know, it's more expensive to eat those types of products, you know, and the products that are, you know, require no preparation. So there's been a lot of talk among some organizations, not necessarily Food for Our Children, but like teaching parents how to cook nutritional food, you know, and cooking it from scratch. And lots of times, I mean, they don't have time. Like you said, they're working one, probably two jobs. So it's kind of a lost art that, you know, like just the basic preparation of food, nutritious food.
So there's many aspects to what you're doing. And that's a good segue, I would imagine, at this point in time, into the school garden, because tell us about what you've done.
The school garden project, you know, I had retired and I thought, oh, great, I have some time on my hands. That was the last time I said that. So we started the school garden project. My dear friend Lois Wythe, who had the Peaceable Kingdom Garden, we would meet there and we would talk about gardening. We would have a little cookie exchange at Christmas. And my friend Gail Burkett said, hey, what do you think about if we started a garden at the school? And I thought, well, that's not going to take very much time. Probably a couple kids will join, you know. And that was at Northside Elementary School. When was that? I think that was 2010, maybe. So, so when we first had our first garden club, 32 kids showed up. And now we've got 18 raised beds, all on an automatic watering system, thanks to Home Depot. Oh, my goodness sakes. All Seasons Gardening, thousands, it seems like hundreds of businesses in our community pitched in to support that. So after that, it was such a success. What they do is they raise their own organic vegetables and fruits, and they can take it home. It's included, thanks to our director of nutrition, in the kids' lunches and snacks. That was such a success. It's great seeing these kids in the garden. I don't have kids, but I was like, you think kids like to get dirty? And it's like, the answer to that question is yes. So, you know, get them in a pile of manure, or, you know, getting all the veggies harvested. So that was such a success. I wrote a grant to include the charter school in Kootenay. And then Hope wrote a grant, so there's a garden there. And then at my church, Cedar Hills Church, we have a 5-minute connection time. And I met Bob Hike. I don't know if you know Bob Hike with the Elks, and he said, you know, you should come down and give a presentation to the Elks board. Within 2 weeks, I had $2,000 from them for a school garden, so we went into Washington. The next year, they gave me another $2,000. We went to Farm and Stidwell. The year after that, they gave me another $2,000 for Sagal, and I just learned that we have received another $2,000 grant from the Elks to go to Southside. So we now have a school garden at each of our elementary schools, and the charter school. So
how do the kids participate in the program?
It's really stepped up. You know, we first started with just a garden club, and the Bonner County Gardeners Association got involved. So we have an expert gardener assigned to each school. It's actually part of the curriculum now. So they'll go in the spring and give them instruction, so it's not a burden on the teachers to have to take this on, and give instruction on, you know, what to plant, the soil, you know, all different kinds of things. They'll plant a fall garden. We've got every garden on an automatic watering system, so during the summer it just takes minimal work to go over and do some weeding and whatnot. And when they come back, like let's say, you know, in the spring they were in fourth grade, when they come back when they're in the fifth grade, then they'll go out and do a harvest. And, you know, we'll have like a soup, you know, or stew day or something. I think the charter school has raised pumpkins and they do a pumpkin raffle so that that they can raise money. And Vicki, like I said last year, you know, gave the bike, the raffle donations to food, or not for food for our children, not this year, the school garden project. So we had $2,300, you know, at the school district. So it's a sustainable project
and
now.
Nothing tastes as good as soup that is made from stuff you grew yourself.
That's what's amazing. It's like these kids, the first year at Northside, the kids were eating so much salad, the school ran out of salad dressing. And it's like you hear the kids saying, I love kale, I love chard, you know. So it's like you get them eaten early. And it's like, you know, they love this stuff. So, and most of them have gardens at home now. You know, I had one girl, Katie Korn, come in and she was saying, like, you know, her dad was watering the plants too much. They were getting yellow. And it's like, Dad, you know, she's telling her parents, you know, how to garden. So,
so you're starting a generation of young gardeners that will continue on, not only with them, but they will teach their siblings and their parents.
Right.
Maybe not teach, but bring enthusiasm to having gardens in the home. And just think about that as far as nutrition goes. And that's what bodies need.
I know. And there's some kids, you know, that have come. I did a program at the library, and there was one kid that was in my first Northside Garden School club. And he was teaching kids how to, you know, plant dandelions. And it's a cute little picture with this little girl with a little ladybug on her dress and, you know, holding a big marigold. So yeah, it really passes it on. And it's great to see these kids that, you know, gosh, I feel like they're family that I've seen since they were little kids, and now they're growing up. And so
one question I have, now that every elementary school has a community garden or a school garden, what does it take to maintain that through the years? Because this is another opportunity for the good news is another opportunity for people to give if gardening is your thing. So what does it take, and how would people contribute to that?
Right. The big cost is the upfront cost, you know, with building the beds and whatnot. And Cedars out of Idaho, you know, they donated so much wood to us, which was just, I mean, people were just coming in, like Walmart manager walked into Northside School and said, here's $1,000 for your school garden project. And so, you know, once we get the infrastructure in, and Matt Deal, who is the facilities director, has been extraordinarily patient with us. So, you know, once we get the beds in and the watering system in, then it's pretty minimal after that. So, and we're collecting our own seeds, and we participate in the seed bank at the library.
So maybe a couple $100, a few bags of nutrition for the garden.
Right. And Nancy at All Seasons has been, you know, like, here, I'll give you this. And so they've been very generous. So it's just a really feel-good project. So, and it's each garden has been a challenge. You know, it's always challenged, like, okay, like at Farm and Stidwell, I thought that was just going to be, we're not going to be able to put in a garden here, you know, because we could not find a location that was close to water. We finally did, but the problem was that we had to drill under the street and sidewalk to get to the garden. That would have eaten up the whole $2,000, and that wouldn't have been a good way to spend the grant money. So Three Amigos Plumbing came out with their big, I don't know what you call the piece of equipment, and they volunteered to, you know, drill under for us, and all the kids got to go out there and see the big, huge equipment and whatnot. So
that's always fun. Mm-hmm. So if someone wanted to participate, be a helper, donate, I'm sure, to the school garden project.
Right. I'd call the school district or Bonner County Gardeners Association. So and not just like eating, you know, healthy foods. It's also like, you know, just the socialization. Like, we have little kids, you know, that are being helped by the older kids. And so it's just a lot of different benefits to the garden project. So it's just been a great deal of fun to work on that.
Once again, bravo. Mm. Can't go wrong with what that you put together there. Probably should recap what's coming up on the
28th, next Wednesday.
Vicki, why don't you tell us again?
Sure. At Idaho Poor Authority, from 5 to 7, we're having a fundraiser and tap takeover. The fundraiser supports Food for Our Children. We'll be raffling off the bike, the Surly Pacer, that my husband John and I one, I guess.
I know, it's always hard.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
In the chafe, right?
Being the top fundraisers. And Fremont Brewing will be there. We'll have lots of good Fremont beer, probably some of their fresh hop, because it's that season. And who knows what else? My John has gotten the lineup together, and we'll be raffling off the bike at 7. We'll have music. It'll be fun.
So you can still get raffle tickets there.
You can still get raffle tickets at Idaho Port Authority up until the time we do the raffle. I'll probably be wandering around selling tickets.
Yeah, with your computer.
No, I don't have to do it with the computer.
And people can't make it to the event, but they want to buy tickets. They could buy them now, sometime before then, at Idaho Port Authority or Evans Brothers, it sounds like.
Or Greasy Fingers.
Or Greasy Fingers, yes.
Right, and if you want to take a look at the bike, it's hanging up. Or is it hanging up, or is it at Idaho Port Authority?
It's just at Idaho Port Authority. At least the model is there, and then if you win, you do get it in the frame size that you need. And
it's a beautiful, shiny thing, I'm sure.
It's a beautiful bike.
It's a beautiful, shiny, red bike.
Is it a special kind of bike? I mean, is it a road
bike? It's a road bike. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not really a city nice. Town I actually bike. Like got on it the other day, and I was like,
You like your other bike.
No. Atalanta, that's her name, my other bike. So
Atalanta?
My road bike is named
Atalanta. There's a whole story behind there. We'll have you in to hear about that bike.
There
sometime.
You go.
Okay.
Again, we want to thank you for coming in. What wonderful projects you're both working on together and individually. The school garden project, that's just fantastic.
Thank you.
And food for our children. And what else can we say about that? It's just a wonderful program and worth
contributing. And you can get more about the program if you go online. Go to foodforourchildren.org and see a ton of information about the group, as well as you can make a donation through the website.
Yeah, thanks for having us here. KRFY has been so supportive of this organization and the Garden Project, so we really appreciate all that you do for our community.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick musical break. This is a short song. It was the number one song in 1967. It's called The Letter by the Box Tops. We'll be right back with community calendars. We want to talk a little bit about the decision, local decision 2016 that's coming up and who our guests will be during that. So we'll be right back. This is The Box Tops, The Letter. And that was The Box Tops, The Letter, the number one song on this day in 1967. And we're back in the studios of KRFY. This is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. What do you have going on over there, Chris?
Well, we want to let people know that beginning next week, we're going to kick off our series on election coverage with all the different races that are contested and are going to be on the ballot here locally. And so next Wednesday, we're going to be talking with candidates for the U.S. House of Representatives in the 1st District. And we're going to be talking with a Democratic candidate, James Piotrowski. And we're hoping we'll get Raul Labrador, the incumbent Republican. But that is by no means certain at this point. We are covering that race. We hope Raul will participate. If he doesn't, though, we'll go with just the candidate that does participate. On October 5th, the following Wednesday, we're going to be talking with the Bonner County Sheriff race candidates. That's the incumbent Darrell Wheeler and the write-in candidate Terry Ford. On October 12th, we're going to be talking with the District 7 House Seat A candidates, who are Jessica Chilcott and Priscilla Giddings. And at that same October 12th date, we're going to also be talking with District 7 Senate candidates Ken Myers and Carl Crabtree. And we're combining those because District 7 is only a small part of our listening area. Actually, it's the Sagal area. It's that strange district that runs all the way from Sagal down to Riggins. Weird district. It's unfortunate that it was drawn that way because it fractures the communities. October 19th, we're going to be talking with the District 1 House Seat B candidates. That's Sage Dixon and Stephen Howlett. On October 26th, we're going to be covering the District 1 House Seat A candidates. That's Heather Scott and Kate McAllister. November 2nd, that's the last Wednesday before the voting. That is we're going to be talking with the State Senate candidates, Sean Keel and Steve Tanner. So we're covering all the races that are going to be on the ballot and that are contested. There's a number of races that voters will see on the ballot that aren't contested. There's a couple of county commission races, but since they're not contested, we're not going to be covering those on the air.
That's right. And the reason we're doing this is we want to offer our listeners and voters, hopefully, the opportunity to get informed about the upcoming election. That's why we're calling it Local Decision 2016. And as you said, Chris, these are contested races in our district. And we'll be doing that starting next week and through the election,
up to the election. Mm-hmm. On November 2nd as well, that Wednesday, there is going to be a forum at the high school. I think it runs from 5:30 or 6 till 7:30 or 8 at the high school auditorium. That is being sponsored by the Sandpoint Reader and Sandpoint Online. And we're going to be attempting to do a live cast on KRFY at that.
So if you can't get down to the high school and you want to listen to it, KRFY, we're hoping to set it up, will be live streaming.
Yep. And so we have a couple of technical hurdles to nail down on that, but that's the plan for that. And then on the day after, we have a Wednesday morning morning show. So we're going to be doing an election recap with the local reporters and get their take on how the voting went.
And I wonder if all the races will be finished by then or counted.
Oh, they'll be counted by then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll know who the winners are.
That will be kind of good to know as we move forward here. I want to just also mention that tomorrow on the KRFY morning show, our host, Jack Peterson, will be here. And I don't know who his guest will be, but he always has someone very interesting. So that's at 8 on 88.5 KRFY Community Radio. Next week, on Tuesday, September 27th, you can join the morning show host, Phil Huff, and his guest, Matt Haig. He's the Idaho Forest Conservation Officer. He'll be talking about, very timely conversation, hunting and hunter safety in the forest during hunting season, or really any time, but especially during hunting season. It's good to know all the rules and regs. And that, again, is at 8 on 88.5 KRFY. And next week, as Chris already said, our guests, we're going to start our election coverage with Local Decision 2016. Currently, we have our interview with James Piotrowski, U.S. House of Representatives for Idaho, and we're hoping to have Raul Labrador, also his opponent.
Yes, we'll see how that works out, but we're definitely going to start our election coverage next Wednesday. And other things going on around town, again, the Rock Creek Alliance annual party is tomorrow at McDuff's Beer Hall. That's from 5:30 to 8 p.m., another worthy cause for folks. There's a excellent pianist in town. George Winston is playing in concert at the Panada on Friday, as well as this weekend. There's a couple big events. One of them is the Idaho Draft Horse Mule International Show that's at the fairgrounds. That starts on Friday, but there's Saturday and Sunday are the big days. There's also the head of the Ponderay Regatta. That's in Priest River on the Ponderay River. Ton of stuff going on. The place to find out about it is on our calendars on KRFY.org or sandpointonline.com.
We really are happy that you joined us this morning on the KRFY Wednesday edition of the morning show. So, Chris, I hope you have a great day, and everyone else, have a great day.
Have a great day and great week.
Bye. We're going to go out with a song by the Mamas and Papas called Dream a Little Dream of Me, and the reason we brought this song to you this morning is on Monday, Mama Cass Elliott, who wrote the song, was born in 1943. So this is the Mamas and Papas' Dream a Little Dream of Me.